Strange to be back in church. Feels good. And it feels good to see a couple of you here joining us. So good to have you with us this morning. For the last five Sundays, we've been following the story of the enslaved people of Israel, the Hebrews. If you notice, the five Sundays we started with how they were enslaved in Egypt and how Moses was called to be the liberator of his people, to take them out of slavery. Last week, Antoinette, you read the story of the Egyptians being trapped in the Red Sea while they were fleeing. The Hebrews were fleeing and the Egyptians were after the runaway slaves. This is a story of an epic proportion, especially the story of the Red Sea, when this Red Sea parts and the Hebrews walk through in the middle of that river, that sea, and the Egyptians behind them. It's a great story. If it happened exactly like that, I really don't care. But it's a story that really talks to us, at least it talks to me. The people are now free. They're finally liberated. They were runaway slaves, and they were being persecuted. They were being actively harassed, and they're finally free. And they have been promised, remember what they were promised? A land of milk and honey. And what are they now? Nothing. In the desert. Can you imagine? These people they've been running away. They've been afraid. They crossed the river. And now they suddenly find themselves in the middle of nothing. Desert. Hunger. Dryness. There's not even water. And they start wondering, I think we were better back then. I think we were much better enslaved. And suddenly what they lived in the past in Egypt suddenly becomes attractive. Hey, don't you remember those flesh pots? Those boiling pots of meat that we ate? In another section it says, all those onions and leeks that we ate, I think we were much better over there back then. Shouldn't we go back? And they start murmuring, grumbling, complaining against Moses. It's a very difficult situation. And this didn't last a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Remember how long this lasted? 40 years. So just imagine that. A people who has promised its liberation spends 40 years in this liminal place, in this in-between place. They're not enslaved, but they have not yet arrived to the promised land. 40 years walking in the desert, suffering immensely and wondering all the time, shouldn't we go back? Wasn't it better back then? And in some, today's beautiful reading that Duff read talks about in the middle of their hunger, they're wondering, they're saying, is our God a God that is so sadistic that liberated us to bring us here and kill us? There's a deep sense of, who is this God? This God is so horrible that liberated us and brought us here, and now he wants to kill us here by hunger, slowly. And suddenly in the middle of their distress, God promises, says, in the evening quails will rain upon you, and manna will appear in the morning. Manna means, what is it? That's the meaning of the word manna. Because when they saw that thing on the floor that was whitish, they said, what is that? And in Hebrew, that's manu, manna, what is that? So this natural occurrence which happens in the desert, quails fly, it's not something really miraculous, it was the ordinary. And in that ordinary presence of the quails and this mysterious manna that appears in the floor of the desert, they discern God's presence. God was there. Even in their hardest moment, God was there. Now, What can be this story? How can it serve me as inspiration? How can it be hopeful for me? As I was meditating on this story, I was imagining, if 7 months of lockdown of this pandemic seems a long time, imagine 40 years of wandering in the desert. If me being complaining about this horrible mask that I have to wear and I'm hot and can't breathe, can you imagine 40 years of wandering the desert? Living in this liminal place, I think we are living as a world. The pandemic, the fires and hurricanes and earthquakes, the racial, social, political upheaval that we are experiencing is, in a sense, a wilderness. In a sense, it's a situation where we say, where are we? And no wonder some people are saying, let's go back to the past. Wasn't the 1950s so great? Can't we go back there? And God tells me, at least, no. Don't go back. What you think, what you imagine was so good is when you were enslaved. You need to keep moving forward. I know it's difficult. Go to the past. Move forward. Move towards the promised land. 40 years symbolized a generation. And what it meant that these Egyptians all died, and even all the enslaved Israelites that had walked out of Egypt, all of them died. Only the younger ones survived. And it's metaphorical, for me at least. What it means is, in my own heart, I wonder, who is that enslaved person who dreams to go back, who doesn't want to go forward? Who is the Berto that is afraid of walking forward, who is still afraid of being liberated, who to walk as a free human being? And I can point a lot of things that I can imagine myself. You can probably say some of them. Because we are like that. And at the same time, it invites me also to wonder, who are the Egyptian in my heart? Who is that oppressor who needs to die, in a sense? I need to let him to rest. At the same time, the enslaved mentality that I have in my own heart, I need to let it rest. Because in the promised land, only new hearts, new people will be able to enter. In this liminal, this wilderness place that I find myself, and I imagine some of you will find yourself, I wonder, what are the quails and the manna that is being rained upon you now? What are those? And it's probably not too evident what it is. After the big miracle of the Red Sea parting, I imagine they saw these quails and this manna, this bread, like kind of ordinary things. They even complained about it. After a while, they said, oh God, we're tired of this bread. It tastes like nothing. I mean, my God, can't you give us a little bit more of something spicy, something more interesting? We're bored to death. I can imagine many of us looking at TV, our services. We get tired. We've seen our numbers going down of people watching, and I can understand it is hard to be in church through a screen. It is hard. It is not the same thing. And like the Israelites, we say, we want something more exciting. But the invitation, I think, is God saying, can you discover my presence? Even in the ordinary, even in the little things, can you discover me there? So I would like to invite you, what is that manna? Those ordinary little things that appear in our life, in our walk in this liminal wilderness place, what are those? Little gifts that God is saying, I'm here. I know it's hard, but keep going. I gave you this manna to encourage you to keep walking. Don't go back. Egypt is not the solution. Going backward is not going to give you any peace. Keep going forward. Personally, as an Episcopalian Christian, as a priest, one of the things I miss the most, besides not only having you present, but having Holy Communion. I've never been this long without taking the Blessed Sacrament. And for me, it's strange to be in church and not to take the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. I'm hungry to be fed again. And I think, I hope for me and for all of us that this time of not being together will make us even more hungry. For once we can be able to gather more prominently with many people here in church as we used to do. When we come back, this hunger will be so beautiful. When we see each other once more, when we can take the bread and the wine and rejoice of God's great deeds among us. Let us pray. O God, God of all wonder, who in the wilderness you go before us as a beacon and as a guide. Lead us through all danger, through our complaining and our boredom and our fears, to go back to slavery. Sustain us through all desolation and bring us home to the land you have prepared for us. Amen.
Amen.